This podcast is general in nature and hasn't taken your circumstances into account. It's important you consider your personal circumstances and speak to a financial advisor before deciding what's right for you. Any general tax information provided is provided as a guide only. Now, here's Shane and Deanna.
G'day everyone, thanks for joining. Deanna, another week, another inflation report in Australia. Unfortunately, this one was on the high side, so how did we get it so wrong?
Yeah, it was a lot higher than what we were forecasting. We had 0.7% over the quarter for both headline and underlying inflation. And when we talk about underlying inflation in Australia, we're talking about the trimmed mean. Really, that's the one that the RBA is targeting. Mm. And that meant that annual growth in the trimmed mean went up to 4%, which is pretty high. What you want to see is you want to see the pace of quarterly inflation come down, when it's kind of gone the opposite way in the March quarter. So it is a little bit concerning.
Mm. But I guess the good news is inflation is still well down. It's still trending down on an annual basis. I think we peaked around 8%. We're now, 4% on the trim mean and 3.6 on the headline?
Yeah, I mean, the progress has been very good both in Australia and globally. But I guess by now the reason that we got our forecast wrong has been that the economy has just held up so much better than what we were expecting it to. So both in terms of the labour market, wages growth has been stronger than what we were forecasting. The consumer has certainly pulled back, but overall I'd say that it's really that services inflation that's keeping things elevated. In the March quarter figures, the biggest increases were in healthcare, in rents, in education and insurance. So a lot of that is around those core services that people have to consume for everyday life.
Yeah. It's a bit depressing in a way. I must admit, I don't have a mortgage anymore. But I do feel for people with mortgages, particularly if they've gotten in recently into the property market, and you sort of wonder, well, what does this mean for the RBA? We had been thinking, well, maybe the middle of the year they'll start cutting interest rates. We've seen some stronger jobs numbers. There's debate internationally, Fed holding for a little bit longer, other countries still cutting. But it kind of looks like it's going to get pushed out in Australia as well.
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I'm quite disappointed about that because my fixed rate rolls off early next year and I was hoping for a few rate cuts, but it's just hard to see the need for a rate cut right now. I mean, the RBA will probably even maybe reinstate their tightening bias because the pace of inflation has been picking up. I mean, I guess you could also say maybe that this is just a blip, and that if you look at our forward-looking pipeline indicator, it's still pointing to lower inflation in the next 6 to 12 months. So we could see that in the next few quarters, the pace of inflation comes in below expectations. But even based on the RBA's current forecast, I think we'd need a lot of things to go right just to get their own forecast correct by the end of the year. So the risk is that they'll be revising up their inflation forecast and reintroducing their tightening bias. So a rate cut probably can occur by the end of the year. But, you know, there is a risk that we may not even see one until next year sometime.
That seems to be pretty much the market consensus. I guess, or the money market consensus, I think economists all seem to have pushed out their rate cut. Some are talking about later this year, some early next year. But one thing I take heart from, though, is that I remember the September quarter inflation numbers surprised on the upside. Then we got to the December quarter numbers, and then the monthly numbers came out for January and February, and they were all on the downside, which got me kind of excited. Well, maybe we're on the right path. And you sort of think, well, this one's surprised on the upside again, so maybe the next few will be back on the soft side.
And it's sort of in line with the global data. In a lot of countries, you saw this increase in inflation in early 2024. So maybe Australia's just following that trend, even though I still think that Australia is different because of the mortgage sensitivity of households, that we have to see lower levels of consumer spending. I find it hard to reconcile how consumers are still keeping up with paying off large mortgages given the increase to interest rates. But I guess also the other thing that now people will be thinking of is, what does this mean for the housing market?
Well, that's a good question. And I must admit, I've struggled with this one. I would have thought that Australia's high level of debt relative to income and these massive mortgage rates, you could have borrowed just 2-3 years ago at 2%, locked in for 3 years, 2%. Yep. Sensible people did. You do that now and you're locking in, 6.5% or something, which is more than a threefold increase in your mortgage rate, which is painful. I just would have thought that would have had a more dampening impact on the economy than it has. So that's where I've been surprised. But obviously, for housing, it does beg the question that one of the factors, I mean, we've had this shortage of housing, very high immigration levels, pushing up the economy, inflation and housing. But you sort of wonder, well, that's still there. But another factor helping the property market this year has been hopes for or anticipation of rate cuts. Obviously, that helps existing homeowners hang on. They're thinking, well, I can hang in there if I can just wait a few months. And new home buyers thinking, well, I better get in now because rate cuts are around the corner, otherwise I'll miss out. Now you sort of wonder whether if rate cuts are delayed with the money market, not assuming rate cuts till February next year, that it might start to exert more of a dampening impact on the property market. And so the rates of increase that we've been seeing, which have been averaging about 0.6% a month, might start to slow down a bit from here. So that's, I think, one to watch out for. I had been thinking it would slow down. They've been a lot more resilient than I would have thought. But I'd have to say with these delays in rate cuts that things might start to soften a little bit more. They're already out of interest, already quite soft in Melbourne. Maybe that spreads to other cities.
And in the March quarter, inflation data rents was obviously one of the biggest rises. Well, I mean, can the government do anything here to intervene, try and do some sort of rental control?
Look, I know the Greens are talking about rent controls. I heard one of them saying they want to put a moratorium on rent increases for 2 years. In other words, no rent increases for 2 years. The problem I have with that when you interfere with free market forces and the price mechanism is it sends all the wrong signal to the people. You want to build more homes. You want investors to come in to supply more rental property. If their rents are frozen for 2 years at a time when their costs have gone up, then they're going to say, well, forget it, I'm not going to be here. And that could actually make the situation a lot worse. Like, to be honest with you, I think the solution is not with fiddling at the edges with the tax system and putting caps on rents and all that sort of stuff. The solution is making it easier for developers and home builders to get their homes made, trying to find ways to get them the cost of home building, you know, the material shortages and the labour shortages, more training of apprentices. And also look at the demand side, make sure we balance the number of people we have come into the country each year. And don't get me wrong here, I'm a great fan of immigration. It's been fantastic for Australia. But at times you can have too much of a good thing. And maybe in the last year or so it's been too high at, what, 660,000 population growth, 550,000 immigrants. That's very, very high, and it's just overwhelmed the ability of the property market to supply property. So I think if you can get the demand side driven by people and ease up the supply side, then that's the way to go. But fiddling with the tax system, freezing rents, I think will just make the situation worse.
It just seems like the government has more of a role to play around inflation, because if you look at the major categories that have had huge increases in inflation, it has been around construction costs, health, insurance and finance, gas, electricity, education. I mean, all of these areas are ultimately under the influence of the government.
Yeah, and then that's a concern to me, that government may be playing a role here. I know we often say, well, some groups say, well, it's all the workers, they're demanding high wages, and other groups say, no, it's all the supermarkets putting the prices up. And I kind of go back to basic economics here and think, well, you know, government has also played a role in perhaps overstimulating the economy through the pandemic. That led to this massive boost in demand that we've got at a time when supply was constrained. And when I look at the housing market, I think hands of government, role of government is all over that.
Yeah,
you know, they've made it harder for developers to get things approved and release land and so on. They control the immigration levels and so on. So the government is playing a big role in, it should be playing a bigger role in trying to fix these things up. But unfortunately, a lot of what it's done has actually made the situation worse.
And so the higher than expected inflation data obviously will surprise the government as well, because their forecasts were for lower price growth. Does that have any implications for the budget comes out in a few weeks? I mean, maybe the government should be thinking about tinkering some of its cost of living policies that it was going to put in place, because do we really need more cost of living relief at a time that inflation is proving hard to bring down?
Well, that's a good question. And unfortunately, the inflation numbers tell us that yeah, there's still an issue there, and government has a role to play in trying to get inflation down. We've also heard a lot from the Treasurer coming back from the US, the IMF meetings telling us that the global economy, the outlook is fragile.
It's kind of opposite to what the IMF's saying.
Yeah, it surprised me a little bit, because only a week ago we had the IMF coming out and upgrading its forecasts I know some countries went down, but you know, the average went up. The IMF has been forecasting 3.1% growth or something like that. Now they're saying 3.2. Not a big move, but it's hardly the dire situation or the confronting situation that the Treasurer was referring to. So that surprised me a little bit. I kind of wonder whether he's trying to talk down expectations, though, amongst his own party members and the general community hoping for more, and he's saying, well, there's a bit of uncertainty out there, don't get too excited.
They're trying to blame the global outlook for the problems.
Well, that's possibly part of it. But I think when it comes to the budget, you know, the basic picture globally is still one of surprising strength.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the last few years, everyone's been worried about the global economy. You know, there was the Ukraine crisis and so on. That's continuing. The Middle East, inflation, interest rates. And yet the global economy has been growing around 3%, not too bad. And our commodity prices are coming in higher than was assumed back in the most recent budget update in December, which means more money flowing to Canberra. But I think in this environment where you've still got a relatively strong economy, it is slowing down, but at the same time, you're still trying to control inflation. The basic pressure on the budget is not to pump a lot more money into the economy. I think there is room out there to provide assistance for low income earners. I think the energy bill relief should continue. Otherwise, some will actually see their energy bills go up again.
But you could argue that, if you don't do that, households are getting relief from the 1st of July when they get some tax cuts.
That's right. They are getting the tax cuts, and that's quite a sizable amount for some households.
And some economists like Chris Richardson are saying that those tax cuts are worth two interest rate cuts.
You can make that argument. They are quite sizable for many households in terms of the percentage of their income, and you can do the equation and say that's equivalent to two interest rate cuts. So the Reserve Bank will naturally be mindful that they want to see the impact of those tax cuts before, you know, perhaps considering interest rate cuts. But the picture, therefore, is the government's already announced these broader tax cuts, less for the high-income earners, more for the low- and middle-income earners. Low- and middle-income earners, we know, tend to spend more of their income, so you've got a bit more stimulus going in. I think there is room for some energy bill relief, but I don't think there's a lot of room for much beyond that. And overall, the government should be continuing to put any windfall it gets from higher commodity prices towards reducing the budget deficit and hopefully running another significant surplus this financial year. Mm. So it's not a time yet for the government to be pumping lots of money in. Maybe that comes later down the track when the economy slows more decisively, but we're not there yet. Right now, the budget should be focused on not adding to inflation, not making the Reserve Bank's job tougher than it is, and ultimately paving the way for lower interest rates.
But we will have an election next year, so maybe there will be some sugar hits in there.
Yeah, we've got to be realistic here. This is politics. This is not just the Reserve Bank looking at things from a clinical economic point of view. They've got to allow for the politics. But that said, you know, if the next election is, say, next May, there will be another budget before that. And maybe that's the time where the government gets a bit more flexibility to provide more goodies. But this time around, beyond helping low-income earners and the already announced tax cuts, I think the focus should really be on fiscal constraint to help bear down on inflation.
Okay, that's it for today. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Shane. Until next time.
Thanks, Deanna. See you next time.
For more info on Shane and Deanna's podcasts and reports, head to the Insights Hub at amp.com.au.